So, I'll do the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. Fresno arts, entertainment, music, politics, culture. What else?
No, all those things.
That's it.
Some sports.
Some sports? We'll talk sports.
Yeah.
We maybe have never done that before. No, that's not true. We've talked sports.
I've probably jammed it in there a couple times.
So as always, Famous Whitewater here with you, and with me, and Mike C. of the Dorktown
here.
Network of Podcasts. And we're here. We're going to talk all things Fresno. And as we always do,
we love it.
We love it. So where should we start? There's so much.
Obama.
I think we should. That's probably the biggest news since we last met.
The offsprays. Right. His offsprays saw those all like for 2 days. You saw those off. Like I'd forgotten, you know, for a day, I guess, or whatever that, you know, Obama was, right, was on Thursday. You know, he came on Friday.
He came on Friday, right?
And Valentine's Day.
Yeah, he came
and
on Valentine's
Day.
And
so on the Thursday, I was picking up my daughter. Or no, it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
I was picking up my daughter at school, like 1 p.m. And these two Ospreys come flying over the school.
And you're like, what?
And I've never seen those in Fresno.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what the heck is that? Not, you know, thinking about the president's visit. Like, what? And then I saw a second one. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and then they like
attack.
They didn't like, you know, go in for a landing at the airport. They like did a bank around and banked around the city. And like, well, that was weird.
Yeah. Right.
And like everybody like around the school is like looking up and like, what are those things? Because they're an odd aircraft.
Right. Yeah.
They're like helicopter / jet / thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, that was weird. Completely not thinking about it. And then I saw that the, somewhere I saw on Twitter or something that reminded me, the president's coming.
And
those are the things that were actually transporting his vehicles.
Right, all the,
And then they had the two Marine ones.
Right.
The two helicopters that were transporting them. And then, of course, Air Force One comes with him.
So the whole thing.
That was cool.
And I did not make it out. To see it, but you know, I work for a news organization.
Yeah,
and so it was like chaos in good way, you know. But I
was everybody
it was like,
all buzzed?
Oh, it
at
was
the beat?
It was crazy. You know, they had people down there. I think we had a photographer, and then one of the reporters got to like, you know, was there sort of the whole time with him as he traveled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So. Definitely cool stuff. I mean, that's the kind of, if you are one of those journalists, which I am not really,
you didn't get in there, it's the
kind of day you live for, you know.
Yeah,
when the president comes to town, and you know, you hope. And
so, do you know what if the White House did they give the bee like a certain amount of passes, or did they come to the bee, or the bee come to the White House and saying, we need media,
I think that's how, you know, I don't think the White House cares one way or another who's there. And so I think that, you know, we reached out and said, hey, you know, this is what we want to do, and try and got our credentials or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know that they were essentially until, you know, the day of, or a couple, maybe even a couple hours, there was, you know, we kept asking, you know, media kept asking, hey, is there an itinerary? Do we know what's going to happen? Nothing. You know, it's just like, no, we're not going to tell you that. So
don't worry about it. We're going to do what we're going
to
do.
Right. And you just kind of have to deal with it, you know? So, but yeah, so it was big. I like that realistically, right? He came to Fresno in the same way that like, I have been to Phoenix, or, you know, which is like, I stop at the airport.
You've been at the airport and looked around, and you're like, I've been to Phoenix now.
And then I get back in my, you know, and so I think he was on the ground in Fresno for all of, you know, 10,
basically, he saw the tarmac.
The, Right.
And that's
got in his car and went out to Fireball or whatever.
I think he even took the I don't know if place that he drove around.
He took the helicopter out there, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if
he probably drove around once he was out there or something.
Yeah, I guess, but like I have not heard of anything where he drove around in Fresno. So I don't know.
But you know, I read on Twitter someone I follow is a barber. And said one of the Secret Service guys came in to get a haircut.
And the airport barbershop? Where he's got celebrity pics?
I think, I don't know where it is.
Just came somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it was, the barbershop was. But anyway, so it was big, I mean, exciting, big news. He talked
flew over our house, the Air Force One, that was cool, when he left.
See, I didn't see any of that. Yeah. I watched it sort of live on the news or whatever, but that was it. But it was a big deal.
Yeah,
happened just like that too.
Yeah, it was pretty quick
one day. President Obama's coming, really? And then he was here, the next week or whatever.
And I guess we're gonna get a whole bunch of money for it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hopefully,
I don't know what the end result is. I know that California is trying to get money for it, or Governor Brown is putting money aside for it. I don't know.
Right. For water.
Right.
It seems like they wouldn't want to give us any money.
I haven't yet, our drought situation and stuff, I haven't yet understood why we can't see clouds. Mm-hmm. I guess that's spraying chemicals.
That doesn't exist.
I heard that they're doing it in Texas.
A real thing.
Which makes me think that maybe it's like California doesn't want it because maybe it's a chemical thing. Right. In Texas, they don't give a crap about anything.
They're like, do
whatever you want.
It's poison water? Who cares?
We don't care about poison stuff. We're Texas.
Yeah, maybe.
So I don't know. I have not heard somebody say this is why we are not seeding clouds. Because today was overcast most of the day. And it would have been, I would think, like, seed those clouds, let's make it rain.
The least we could do is get, like, Chachansey or one of those, like a rain dance.
Yeah, a rain dance. For us. Come on.
Or something.
Kick us down something.
Because
that's depressing.
Yeah.
Looking at the lakes.
Oh, yeah.
Millerton, do you see that picture of Millerton right now? It's like, oh, my God.
There's nothing out there.
The boat dock that kind of floats with the tide in the water. Uh-huh. It's just like way down there. You can't even drive to it.
That's insane. Well, I know that. Yeah, what are you gonna do? Conserve water, people.
Yeah,
your toilet.
I've had my sprinklers off for a while now. Yeah, but in the winter it's not a big deal. In the summer, some choices might have to be made. I don't know.
Start planting succulents.
Yep.
Rock gardens.
Yep. Being like Phoenix. Yeah. Phoenix does it.
Yeah. It's so terrible.
I have to do it here.
It's so terrible.
I kind of like the desert kind of landscape, but
yeah,
I like the woods. Right. Woody.
I would like it if it wasn't so hot.
Yeah. You know? You got to go in the winter and the spring.
Right, yeah.
Phoenix is awesome in the spring.
I've only been there in the summer. And it's like you're living in an oven, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it hurts. Yeah,
I live there, and the summers are the pools are useless during the day.
Right.
You would think like, you got a pool, and it's cool. They're useless. It's a bathtub.
Right.
And they're actually a lot of the pools have these spray systems to cool them down to like somewhat usable, lovable.
Have your pool. Yeah. Cooled.
Yep.
In Phoenix. That's how that works.
And so you really, in the summertime, you only go swimming at night, really.
Right.
You don't even go swimming during the day, hardly.
Yeah. You just hang out inside all day and then go outside just to get in the pool.
Kind of like we do here.
Yeah.
Except we do at least get to go out in the morning.
Yeah. We could go out. When I was in Phoenix, what I remember is I had to go outside and get something out of the car, out of the van or whatever. And, just gotten up. It couldn't have been 8 o'clock. You know, it was probably 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. And I was like, "Oh, I don't need to put my shoes on because it's 7 o'clock in the morning." What? And I burnt my feet walking from the house to the. Ow, ow, you know, ow, ow, yeah, ow, it was ow, terrible. Ow. Anyway, So I don't know how
Obama. It was drought and then heat and then there we go.
So we had President Obama and
at least the president is finally came here.
Yeah. And I think
it was cool.
They were saying George W., one of the Georges, came through Fresno at one point.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
I remember Clinton coming through.
Clinton, yes.
I remember he jogged down the canal bank on McKinley. I remember that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, because he stayed at Piccadilly, I think.
Really?
I believe it was Piccadilly.
Huh.
And he stayed overnight. I forget why he came. Right. But for some reason, he came for something. And then in the morning, he went jogging down that canal bank on McKinley there by the airport. Wow. And so Clinton stayed way longer than...
Than Obama.
But...
Obama had to go meet the prince and play some golf or whatever.
Prince and... You know, it was Valentine's night, so...
Right.
I don't know.
His wife was someplace else.
Like, she's just like...
She was like back home.
She's cool, because it's like, come on. Valentine's Day present, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're the president.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry.
I'll worry about it when you're done with being president.
Okay, so that was the sort of probably the biggest news.
Yeah.
But there's been some other stuff that has happened since we last had
a podcast. Something really... intriguing to me as a sports fan.
Uh-huh.
We sold out an soccer exhibition.
Was it sold out?
I think it was. I don't know. It was packed.
It had to be close.
At the Chuck.
At Chick Chansey. It was an exhibition match. I think the first time that we've had major league, like a major league soccer.
Yeah, MLS team.
So two.
I think we've had them before, but I want to say for sure.
Yeah.
We had a Real team before.
Well, that
Ed Stewart's going crazy right now.
Right.
He's like,
Well, yeah.
Had a this and that.
Right. No. And Ed Stewart was actually at the, so I went to the game. Ed Stewart was at the game. And he said it wasn't the largest crowd. He didn't think it was the largest crowd they've had for a soccer game there. But it was pretty close, you know. He said there were a couple of Mexican teams that had played. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, completely sold out. But so it was the LA Galaxy and the San Jose Earthquakes.
Okay. Yep.
Best. I mean,
this is a game that meant nothing. An exhibition game.
Well, no, it was for the Central California Cup.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, you're right.
Which I guess they made up just so that they could have teams come and play for this thing that doesn't. But, you know.
Well, they do it like
inaugural.
We've had NHL exhibitions. Oh, okay. We have NBA.
Right.
Use it. The Lakers.
Oh, right. Lakers.
The Lakers come pretty much every year for an exhibition. And, you know, and we've had the Giants come and play the Grizzlies before.
Right.
So this is what happens. But for. I don't think it's ever been that well attended like this game was.
Well, and so Fuego played the Galaxy in an early game, and then the Galaxy played. Yeah. And so that game was at 4, I think, and the other game was at 7. And, you know, I drove by there around 3:30, and there were already people lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people stuck around for either both or went and came back. I mean, it was packed. It was crazy.
What I find interesting about this is because Fresno is not quite big enough market to have a pro team.
Pro soccer team.
Or pro anything.
Okay, pro anything. Okay.
We're just not quite big enough. We're close. That's why we have, you know, the Grizzlies, the AAA
Grizzly
team. We're
perfect
size for that. We've had, you know, the Falcons, the minor league hockey team, and now... The Monsters, and we may have a minor league team again.
Yes,
next year. But so you know, we're in that minor league team city.
We had an arena football team for a while.
Yeah,
Okay.
It was a second tier.
Oh,
it wasn't in the major league of arena football.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so we're in that kind of cusp, but we're not big enough. I would be interested to see. Because we have such a huge Hispanic population here, which soccer is huge.
Love soccer, yeah.
Soccer and baseball are the sports for Mexico. And it would be interesting to see, we may be able to support an MLS team. Because I don't know the attendance. I'm going to ask Ed, but I meant to look this up before we started, but at what the average attendance for an MLS game right. is and whether or not Fresno could support that. Yeah. I would be interested to see because we have that culture, a soccer culture built in
here.
We
have a lot of fans.
It's the one thing that we have built in here that might...
And it seems to be growing right now, you know.
Yeah, it's not getting... Yeah, it's anything, it's growing. So I'd be interested to see if maybe Fresno could make a pitch for an MLS right. team.
Well, I had no idea that... San Jose had a major league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Been around for like 100 years.
Yep. Yep.
And I saw people walking around with like jerseys and the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, when did
I know
this...
the Portland. Oh, yeah. We like to bring up Portland a lot. They're fanatics up there about their team.
Well, also,
they sell out pretty much every game.
The Quakes had their ultras. They're called the San Jose mm-hmm. Ultras, which is their, you know, cheering crowd, whatever.
The Red Wave.
They brought a bunch of people, I guess, from San Jose.
Oh, that's cool.
And they were there ripping shirts off. Someone had a drum.
Get naked.
Someone had a drum. They were drumming the whole time. They had a cheer at one point where they were like, we don't give a fuck about L.A. Something like that. It was insane.
Oh, that's cool.
And I didn't even know that. The Quakes had their own little...
The Galaxy
had their own little cheering section on the other side.
not too many people made it over the grapevine see
it. It wasn't but hardly
San Jose represent. Man, they're great about supporting the Sharks. Yeah. They're one of the biggest best hockey towns in the surprisingly
again
in the NHL.
It'll go back to a show in San Jose, and it was on a night that the Sharks had a game.
Uh-huh.
And so we couldn't start the show until
the Sharks game was over.
Because no one would come out.
Right.
And then as soon as the game was over, suddenly there were people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there were people in the bar. And it was like, which was so weird because, you know, we come from Fresno. It's like hockey. What?
Yeah. Huh? Woo.
I actually went to the game. A friend of mine got tickets. He had like 30 tickets. He got like a bunch of tickets right mm-hmm. when they went on sale. And so we were actually like row one. We were right there.
Nice.
Good tickets. Only slightly more expensive than sitting back a little way.
Wait, which game are we talking about?
This is for the Galaxy Quakes game.
Oh, okay. Here.
Yeah, and I wish that we had sat a little further back because it was sort of hard to see from being right there on
the
field.
Yeah, if you're field level there at Chukchansi, I would think, I've not seen a soccer game there yet, but I would think that would be difficult to watch.
Yeah,
the game
you know, because all the team was in front of you.
Right.
And, but it was a lot of fun. I would go again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, maybe somebody's got some money in town.
Right. Bring in, we got the stadium.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you can have it.
It's not made for soccer, but we can do it.
Yeah,
obviously, and they happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next.
Have you seen this? The proposal by Mr. Councilman Lee Brand to sell. You know that Fresno needs to sell all their real estate,
right,
to make some cash,
right.
Which sounds fine.
Sounds good.
But Mr. Brand is a real estate, owns a real estate company. Right. So this, it should fittingly throw up huge red flags. With the history of the council of Fresno, especially with developers and anything, you got to say, wait, what?
So I saw this today in the paper, and I didn't think too much of it. I sort of thought of it at, like, the general sort of Lee Brand thing, which is, you know, he's always looking for ways to save the city money or you know, make sure that the city is spending the money. He's being, like, trying to be the best steward of the city's money.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
He's the bookkeeper.
Yeah, of
the council.
Yeah, seems to be pretty good at it, you know? Yeah. He looks at things and goes, oh, this isn't adding up. Let me take a look at it. And so, you know, I didn't really think much of it. I mean, it sort of made sense. His idea was like, you know, that the city doesn't really understand or the city may not have a good understanding of exactly how much land it actually owns, you know, because between departments or whatever. So, you know, there's really...
According to the B article, the city of Fresno owns a crap ton of real estate.
They just bought a bunch of, which is, I guess, smart. And so, you know, on one hand, what his idea is to take a look at everything we have and figure out if there are ways to that we could, if it's just sitting there, either sell it or, you know. But as part of this, there's a, I guess, a stipulation that says, you know, that they would, and I don't know how it would work, but essentially they would let a local real estate, you know, agent, team, whatever.
Property manager.
Property manager go out and sell the thing for a commission or something. And I saw someone post, you know, wait a second.
Dale, our buddy Dale.
Yeah, our buddy Dale Stewart. He was like, you know, does this, you know.
He owns a real estate company.
He owns a, yeah, he's in real estate. He owns a real estate. He probably has some real estate friends. Who's going to be benefiting from this, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you look at it in that context, it does raise some good questions, you know? And one of the comments, you know, was that, you know, you would think that he would then recuse himself from some of these. Whether he will or not,
he should. Like, if this is going to come to a vote, which you know it is, he should not be allowed to vote. It should
you
be
would
like
think so, right?
He should not be allowed to vote. He should not be allowed to even talk to the other councilmen,
right? Yeah,
be like, hey, man, this look at this property management. Right. It's pretty good. Yeah. I know him. He should, if he's doing any of that at all,
it seems like it would.
Then
be,
it's shady.
Yeah,
I mean, it just smells. It smells bad, and especially with given Fresno's history. I mean, he seems like he's kind of ignoring, like, Mr. Brand, do you not remember the Operation Rezone at all?
You wonder if...
you really think we forgot?
Like, you wonder if he just... you wonder if that didn't come to his mind at some point, you know? Like, oh, man, this might look bad. Yeah. How can
and
I...
And isn't he the one... that somebody had said that was walking around with a Granville sweater on somebody commented like I saw and I believe it was Mr. Brand, I don't know for sure.
Right.
It was one of the councilmen then was walking around with a Granville shirt on. Yeah. So I'm like it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's definitely something to watch because
I mean
that
this isn't like a Podunk town, guys.
Right.
You can't just like I'm just getting on the council, and then I'm going to grease the wheels of my my real estate friends. And it's like,
except for you can,
you can't.
Yeah. Except for you,
I guess you can. Apparently,
And this is probably a good segue, and we shouldn't talk about it too much because we'll be able to talk about it a little more after on our next podcast. The Fulton Mall vote is coming up in. So next week, essentially a week from
the plans
today,
of the vote on what plan to do,
and whether to accept the money and all those good things. Actually, I don't know if it's to accept the money yet, but
I think it's just for the which plan.
I think it's going to be. For. I mean, it's going to be a knockout, drag out fight. And this weekend they're having a big Save the Fulton Mall rally, and there are still a big. I don't know how big exactly, but there are many people who think the Fulton Mall should be preserved and should be saved. And, you know, I actually talked to Councilman Sal Quintero, and he, you know, has some questions about the money issue, how much money we really have to handle this. Is it going to be enough? You know, he was saying that, when they started doing some reconstruction on the roads, Divisadero down there by Fulton 55, I think, around that area. No, it was down by the hospital, Divisadero down by the community hospital.
Yeah.
They were digging up the roads, and when they got down to a certain part, they had all these old rail lines were down there, old... And they had to tear them up, you know? And so the price of that project was like, you know, however much more than it should have been.
Right.
When they did the streets down on Olive and Olive,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Venice Olive and Olive,
Venice and Olive, and
Orishon Fulton, right there,
yeah, yeah,
same thing. And so he's like,
the streetcar right, tracks are there,
yeah. So he was like, there's no telling once you start pulling up these things what you're gonna find out there. So you have to have some contingency money.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
You know.
I like that. It's like it's the Democrats throwing the Republicans right, thing back on themselves. Right. Like, hey, what if some unseen costs right, happen?
I mean,
what if we're not budgeted enough for right, this, guys? So it's like it is weird. Like, it's kind of the Fulton Mall thing is this sort of reverse where you like the conservative people are like tear it out,
right?
And not. Thinking about the not talking about the cost of it,
right?
And yeah, the Democratic liberal people are like, you know what? We may not. Where's is that all that money going right, to be enough to tear to, out the yeah, mall? So it's just kind of funny.
And you know, he has some ideas, and I think, you know, listening to his ideas, I mean, I think they're great ideas, and I think they're ideas that you know we probably talked about. Others have probably talked about, you know, his idea is actually to have like north of Fresno and south of Tulare open to traffic, mm-hmm, and that middle part, right, which would be like yeah, where the clock tower is,
yeah,
would remain how it is, and that would become like the town square,
mm-hmm,
and you know, it would feed from the stadium. It would feed like he, you know, would picture like south of or north of that north strip of Fulton, like down towards
yeah,
Fresno would be like, you know, all neon and like whatever
yeah,
on the other side. And so, you know, his idea like is that, building it into an yeah, entertainment district.
I like that idea.
As opposed to sort of the commercial.
Yeah.
And you know, and he had the same question that I had and that we've talked about before, where it's like, well, you're saying that opening the mall to traffic is going to drive businesses because businesses need to see people to see their storefront. But what about the streets that are on Fulton that are already open to
right,
traffic and have nothing?
There's nothing know, go when yeah, right, when you the two arguments, like I've you know, we've done this talked this to death, but I still enjoy talking about it. But
I love it.
The arguments for opening traffic, they're good arguments.
Yeah.
I don't even, you know, when I don't really necessarily yeah, disagree with pretty much any of them. But the two things I always fall back on that have not been proven, I've never been proven wrong or whatever you want, however mm-hmm, you want to say it, is one, Fresno always tears up
right,
things that we have unique, right, old, yeah, old. Unique things we have, we always tear them
yeah,
up
and build, yeah,
and build something new, and that's exactly
exactly what the Fulton Mall was. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like which is the ironic part about it is right that's what we did to get the Fulton Mall
right,
was we tore up what would have been a ridiculously awesome downtown now,
yeah, yeah,
so that we could have the Fulton Mall
right.
And now it's like, now we're having this
and
debate
now it's
again, like of
become
whether or not
the unique thing.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Right.
Which, I, you know, I don't like us tearing anything that's historical.
At some point we need to stop that, yeah.
And then two is, when you go past the drugstore yeah, north of the right, Fulton, it's open to traffic,
right,
plenty of parking, there's you know, Granville's built all kinds of stuff they've wanted to build it. There's plenty of residents there, and nothing retail-wise has ever happened there.
Well, and
in fact, it's the only thing that's we've seen retail-wise along that whole strip is Ironbird Cafe closed.
Yeah,
well, so that's the only thing that's happened.
There is some retail that's happening at.
I mean, Bitwise has done awesome, but that's not a retail.
Yeah, you know. And so I made that point in my column last week, and Craig Charton left a comment on the story, and he was saying that, you know, those sections actually are hurt by the Fulton Mall because it's sort of like a cul-de-sac thing, you know, so that you get to the end there and you have to stop and turn around, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I disagree with that argument.
So,
because everyone's coming from the Tower District.
Right.
So that's the area they're going to come down anyway. If you're talking about the other side, I agree with that. Like the between 41 and the Fulton Mall, right. But that's the easy accessible side.
Right,
is where the traffic is now. Where all the Arbor and Lofts and where all that development is, and nothing's happening there. So I don't know.
Well, you know, it will be interesting. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen because I really don't know. I would sort of resign to the fact that, like, yeah, it's going to be open to traffic. And still, I think ultimately that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because I really do think that, like, if it is, what I would hate to see is nothing.
Yeah.
Or B, they open it to traffic, but don't do anything other than open it to traffic.
Yeah.
Because I think that it has to work in conjunction with something else, you know? And I do think that, like, having just opening it to traffic and putting a new street, I think there will be enough, like, newness, let's put it in quotes. Mm-hmm. To attract some people.
For a North of Shar to come out.
Because people are going to be there. Oh, I got to go see the new.
Yeah, the new thingamamoba.
So, you know, that will probably have some whatever. But I really think that it's what they do once the street is open that's going to make all the difference.
Yeah.
So, and I have to say, you know, the mayor and the Downtown Fresno Partnership, man, they're putting on such a good show for this whole thing. And I saw today that they have t-shirts now that say, I can't even think of what they say, but it's like something about, you know.
Open your heart to traffic.
It's not like that. That
open
like
your
outright,
Fresno.
But it's
your inner, let your inner Fresno drive down Fulton.
It's something like that, you know, and it's just like, man, this is in one way it is.
Well, like
really
you
sort
said,
crazy,
I think
so.
The last episode, this is Mayor Swearingen's legacy project.
Yeah.
So this is what, you know, she's done at the end of this term, right? I mean, she can't be mayor again. So it's like this is what she wants to leave her term as.
Right.
She's the one that saved Fulton Mall or saved downtown Fresno or however, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I think regardless of what happens, I mean, she's going to be able to say that because I think that, you know, I think that even if this doesn't happen in the way that she wants it to happen, the momentum is still there. The people are still there. So it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And that's what I think anyway.
Unless they brand,
we'll come back. We'll come back and we'll report. We'll report.
Yeah, we will. We'll stay on it.
We'll stay on it,
no matter if anyone listens or not.
Right.
Well, we're due to talk to Craig and go down the P's and
probably
do a podcast,
do a whole thing
with Craig. But
once it's open to traffic, we'll drive down there,
and he can shove it in our face if everything's all awesome.
I think I really think that if they open it traffic, it's a meander street, it will be awesome. I mean, I really think it'll be great.
Yeah.
If they do that. The thing about leaving it the way it is it takes more, it's not an easy fix to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to, it involves marketing the entire area in a whole different way and really like pushing against people's notions of what this area is. Open it to traffic, I mean, it's an easy fix, and I'm going to do that in quotes.
Yeah.
But in one way, it's much easier than like trying to battle against people's perceptions of what this place is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. Sal Quintero also wants a lot of neon. He's like, if we just neon out the whole thing, you know?
It needs something for people driving down 99 and looking like, whoa, what's going on in that downtown? I'm going to go over there.
I'm going to go see that neon. We should.
All right. I think it's time for the band of the episode.
Band of the episode.
Strange Vine.
These guys, man. You know, they've been around a long time in local bands.
Yeah. Especially, if you... taking them back to
all the way to the same shape and
same shape was huge.
You know, they've been playing a long time and they just keep getting better.
Yep.
And they keep getting more popular. So they're playing this weekend down in Visalia. They have a show. But next weekend, they're playing the Noise Pop Festival in San Francisco. Not only are they playing the festival, which is a pretty big deal, they're actually headlining at the Bottom of the Hill, which is a fairly decent venue there.
Oh yeah,
in San
Francisco.
It's
a huge, as far as indie rock goes, it's a, you know, it's a big venue.
Oh yeah,
in
I mean,
San Francisco.
Yeah, I've seen several, you know, really cool, great bands there. So it's a big deal, and you know, I think these guys are going there. Let's hear a little clip. So that is that's actually off of their Ghosts EP. They're working on a new one. And the problem is, I mean, I think the way they're going about it is, you know, it's just the two of them and they're doing everything. So they go and they go into the studio, they record some songs, and then when they don't have any money, then they go back and play a bunch of shows. And get some more money, then go back in the studio, and they just keep doing that. So I think they've just been super busy, and you know, they haven't had an album out since 2010. It's about time. So
yep.
They should have one out soon. Although when I talked to Toby, he said that they've been saying it'll be out in the next few months for like a year now. So.
Yeah, it does seem like they've been working on it for a long time. But listen for Dorktown.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be on Dorktown.
Oh, is that happening now?
Yes.
Well,
knock on wood.
When I talked to him the other day, he actually mentioned it. He was oh yeah, we've been talking to Mike about trying to get out on Dorktown. So
that's a big thing. Yeah. I've been trying to do that for years.
That'd be great. And they'd be perfect. You're going to have them play?
I asked him. So I don't know if it's going to happen.
Sure. I mean, they can bring.
I just told him they're just bringing a couple acoustic guitars, you know, make
whatever,
it simple. But we'll see.
He'll bring the roads and the whole deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they're really great. Everyone should check them out. I actually have, there's a story in the paper this weekend if you want to go online and look that up.
Look up Josh's story.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Strange Vine, man.
I'm proud of those guys.
Yeah, I can't, yeah. I hope we don't see them for a while because they're just out and the rest of the country is enjoying them.
Doing other stuff, yeah.
So Rogue Fest is coming, Fresno.
Man,
we
mentioned
it last episode, but now we're almost here.
It's
March.
Here. So Thursday, the 27th, it kicks off.
All right.
February 27th.
All right.
Is like the preview night, I guess.
Okay.
And then Friday, Saturday that week, and then through.
It's full on.
Yep. Yeah.
All kinds of rogueness going
on.
It's
crazy. So Rogue Performing Arts Festival, for those who don't know, it's a fringe festival, which is essentially just means it's a non-juried performing arts festival, which essentially means that it's just sort of open to anyone who pays the money. The application fee is kind of accepted, and you get a space, you put together a show. They've been doing it for, I believe this is going to be the 12th year. And it's one of the biggest fringe festivals in terms of ticket sales and audience, that sort of thing, on the West Coast. So
yeah, look at that.
Bigger than the San Francisco Fringe Festival.
In terms of venues,
in terms of artists, in terms of, you know. So it's one of those things that, like, Fresno has that we should really, we should really be proud of, that probably more people in town should know about and get out to.
I always, I mean, I do have a decent nose on what to pick.
Yeah.
I don't take too much chances with Rogue, which is part of the charm of it. It's, to you're take supposed a chance. To
take a chance, but okay. Yeah.
But I'm never disappointed when I go to a thing. I mean, every time.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what our buddy Blake Jones is doing. I haven't even checked out what it is he's planning, but I always enjoy what he does.
I have no idea. Whatever he's doing, nine new songs, I think, or something he did for it. So it's some sort of musical
production. It's a musical one.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Which he does. You know.
My favorite one was the time he did just did a talk show.
Yeah, the Underground Gardens one.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. It was I have a recording of it that I've always meant to release as a Flowing With Famous podcast.
Never have.
Never done it. And it's lost somewhere. I think I can still find it, though.
If you find it, just put a clip in right now.
I might. No, I'm not finding it right now. There was no clip.
But no, that was a really great show. Blake has always done a really good job of putting shows together and doing different new stuff. And I think he's one of the guys in my mind who really understands the idea of the Rogue from a local level.
Right.
You know, because I think there's various aspects of the Rogue. And one of them is having the out-of-towners come through and really getting to see like pretty much world-class
fringe festival stuff for sure.
I mean, these are guys who are, you know, in the biggest fringe festivals in Canada and England, and you know, traveling all around the country, and they're coming here to festival. But the other part of it was about the locals and giving local performers an opportunity to put together a show and really do stuff that was like that they wouldn't normally do, to try out new things, to write new material, etc. And so I think Blake has really taken that to heart and done some cool shows in the past.
Yeah. It's a great festival.
Yeah. So Roguefest, I think it's roguefestival.com.
I was trying to look at
it. Is the website, and they have all the information. The Fresno Beehive will have extensive coverage as it starts, so you can always go there as well to find out everything that you need to know. So,
yep.
It's going to be exciting. I haven't looked haven't had the time yet, cuz it really snuck up on me. To see, you know, kind of put through my picks, but there's a couple of good ones that'll be coming this year. The Reverend Nuge is coming back, who's
always comes.
Who has been here several times, and you know, I think is a cool guy. So
I'm sure Chuck Leonard will have plenty of Rogue people.
I'm sure.
He loves to have Rogue people on this show. It's roguefestival.com.
Roguefestival.com. So you can go there and check it out.
I love getting the map. I love going into the Tower District and finding, like, I go to Livingston's during this time of year and, like,
pick up the
little map.
So we actually got an email. Someone wanted to be on our podcast. One of the Rogue Festival performers. So I'll need to email them back. I personally got an email.
Was
so
it a green one? Green? Does it involve green?
I don't remember. but what I'll do is I'll take a look at it. Get back with them, and maybe our next podcast we can have a Rogue Festival performer actually come in.
Maybe timing fits out, right? Yeah. It might be anticlimactic. Might be after, but
you know, whatever. It'll be kind of
whatever fun. If it helps them.
Yeah, or maybe I'll just get some audio myself, and we'll
use your phone. We'll clip it through. You're recording on your phone. It works.
It does sometimes.
It works pretty good.
All right, so Rogue Festival, do it. Go.
Go to Rogue Festival.
It's gonna be fun.
Do you know Das Beer House is for sale? You got any money to buy a bottle shop?
It's for sale, huh?
Yeah, apparently that's a rumor. In the Tower District, Das Beer House.
Well, that would be too bad. I really like that place. I thought it was good, but there's gonna be
it's for sale. So
there's gonna be that.
The new venue, the mortuary.
What is it? Greensteins?
Yeah, something like that.
Brownsteins? I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode.
So, you know,
we're good.
One, gain one.
Yeah, but maybe Das isn't going away.
Okay.
If you
want to
buy it,
that's
Josh,
just a rumor.
And that's just a rumor.
Yeah. Is there a price? You don't know a price.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
You're moving out of Granville.
I am moving out of Granville.
Is this a conscious Granville decision or just happenstance? Because last time we were so frustrated with the BRT
and I was saying
and how Granville was going against the BRT. We were like, I don't feel right paying Granville money anymore.
Right. Man, I want to say that it 100% is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk off air, off record.
Oh, that's so fun.
About it. I mean, it definitely was part of it. I mean, it definitely was part of it. And I will, I'm still going to be living downtown, but moving out of the mural district, and I'm going to miss it. I really do. I liked where I was. I like the feel of the places down there. But, you know, right now I think, it feels like the right time to move and to try something else. And but, you know, who knows? Maybe in however many, you know, in a year or a couple years, it's back in the mural district and living at one of the other developments. But right now I think it's what needed to happen. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm just throwing this. I'm surprising Josh. Yeah, I know. With it, so.
And I mean,
I've got Josh off kilter right now.
You know, I want to say that, like, oh, yeah, you know, F Graham, you know, and that definitely played into my decision. And I think that had all of that other stuff, like the BRT and some other stuff, not happened, that I would
you'd have
been,
looked at one of the
I would
what looked at one of the Granville things
right or you know closely. Yeah I mean it would have been a different I would have had a different sort of feel.
You would have been more open to everything
about it so you know but I found a cool place and it's still downtown and
yeah
it's gonna be nice so
yeah at least you're staying downtown
right someday I'll move out here to the sticks where you are
you get old like me you'll move out here to the sticks
yeah
all right I think it's time to
that's
plug.
It yeah
plug it up plug it up plug it up
all right so let's you go ahead
sure
what do you got going on
just the you know as usual the Dorktown usual. Network of podcasts
all right
Dorktown podcast Dorktown.
What are you up to
perfect
now? What number podcast are you guys up
I
to?
I think it's 150-something, 160-something.
That's pretty impressive.
I'll remember when we go. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it feels right.
Yeah.
But it's not that impressive because it's a bi-weekly.
Okay. All right.
So we're coming up on 9 years.
9 years.
Or ninth birthday, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So... We should be way more episodes than that, but
big party.
I don't think for 9.
No,
probably for 10 though.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to do something serious.
9 is like
9. We'll just I might throw in like an old clip and like there you go.
Here's a clip from our first show.
Yep.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. So
have you gotten better?
Yeah, but that's not saying a lot.
And I assume production is what you're talking about.
Yeah, all the things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So the topic.
What's weird is I don't know if I think the feedback isn't quite as what it used to be.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like, we have mathematically more listeners than we did back in the heyday, I guess you want to say. But, like, back in the early days, we got more feedback because... there wasn't that many podcasts out there.
Right, sure.
So we were, you know, we were actually some sort of unique thing, kind of. And so I get the feeling that we had better feedback because of that.
Right.
But now we have, maybe we have more listeners, but less feedback.
Right.
So
they
I don't
even
know,
care.
That
they're
that
like, makes, you're one of 17 podcasts I listen
one of,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time to
there's,
talk to
there's
you.
There's a gazillion podcasts, so...
Okay,
but
well,
in the Perfect Four, we're going to try experiment with a weekly show.
Whoa!
Four.
Right now it's bi-weekly.
Yeah, but starting a weekly show.
Whoa.
We're gonna see. It's an experiment.
Yeah.
We're gonna see
now,
if we can pull it off.
Is this just so you can drink more beer?
Well, that's a good byproduct of it.
All right, fair enough.
But it's getting very it's pretty popular and considering the format and considering our expectations so we want to basically see all right how is it is it worth it to do it weekly? Because that's kind of what you're supposed to do is weekly.
Whoa.
So it will... We're just going to see if it's worth it. It's tough to do, but...
Oh, yeah. And
I think content-wise will be all right. It's just that, just the mentally and physically won't be able to do it.
Sponsored. You guys are sponsored by...
Well, not technically we don't have a sponsor, but Tioga Sequoia is nice enough to give us beer when we ask for it.
Sure.
But we don't always have it. But, you know, if I go to Tioga and say, can we have some beer for the podcast? They'll say, sure. They're very, very nice and willing to help us out.
So, but you it would be nice to get like a sponsor, someone who would make the show happen.
Yeah, like a full-on sponsor with a little bit of cash backing. But, I mean, I'm happy with Tioga Sequoia just giving us beer once in a while.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there in case someone's listening to this show and want to sponsor a show. Oh, no, I'm not saying that they should sponsor Flowing.
Oh.
I'm saying they should back the horse that's going to win. Right?
Back Perfect Boar.
Right. And
we can get some...
Craft beer is a thing now. Right. And I think that, you know, it's very much... I mean, we're a podcast about Fresno.
Yeah.
I mean...
There's only so high we can
there's
fly.
There's a limited reach here.
But we can get a nice core group of people that are all about Fresno.
But Perfect Boar, I mean, I think really has
a national presence.
Yeah.
That can be bigger.
So if someone, you know, were interested. Okay.
There you go.
Anything else for you to plug?
That's about it. If there's somebody that knows a podcast that's similar to Flowing with Famous that's from another city, I've been looking. I've yet to be able to find a culture podcast about a city.
Right.
I'd like to have a sister cast somewhere in another city,
and then we could go visit them.
Yeah, and then we can like trade segments.
While we're there. Yeah, be like, and look, like, your city is nowhere near as cool as Fresno.
Like having a rival, or have a rival cast.
Yeah,
because as far as I know, we're the only ones out. I'm sure, obviously, other cities have a similar podcast, but I haven't found it. So if you know of one, let us know, please. TheFresnan@gmail.com.
It's probably some little city in Louisiana
that has its own podcast.
Yeah, Arkansas. Okay, so I will plug myself, obviously, in my job at the Fresno Bee. So I have a column on Fridays where I talk about all sorts of different stuff. This week, I'm talking about the passing of Devo guitarist Bob Castle.
Ooh.
Cassell, I don't know, and how awesome Devo was, and how I forget that I really liked Devo a lot, and then he died, you know, and then I was sort of reminded, like, wow, yeah, Devo is awesome. So there's that. Fresno Beehive, also FresnoBeehive.com. This is the blog, and I do some blogging type things on there.
Remember those people? Cool still.
Yeah. So there's some blogging stuff on there. I need to get a little better on that. I do a lot of like weekly, just, you know, bangy kind of stuff. But I want to do some more like other kind of things. And then Fresno Bee, obviously, I do sort of music related stuff. So I have stories on different bands, and I've been doing some videos and different things now. So you can check that all out at Fresno Bee and or FresnoBeehive.com. And then my band, It'll Grow Back, is still around and playing and alive. We have two shows coming up in March. We have a show on the 5th of March. It's a Wednesday. We're playing at Tokyo Garden with a couple of bands from Michigan. And then Blind Bison, who I don't know if you've heard them.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they're really cool. Local guys. And then on the 9th, which is that Sunday of March, we're playing with Death Ray, which is like a pop punk, kind of electronic pop punk band from Oakland. And so it's us and No Genre and I wish I remember Tyrannosaurus Zebra, maybe, I don't know. The four or five other like local bands, and that's at the CYC. So kind of excited about that, getting down back into Chinatown. So, and you can find out all about us on Facebook, It'll Grow Back.
There you go.
Twitter, It'll Grow Back with an S.
You can also go to dorktownpodcast.com to find out stuff about Dorktown.
There you go.
And if you want to, we have a voicemail line.
Oh.
It's set up for Dirk Town, but it's set up really for all
Dirk
Town Network.
Flowing with Famous. Yeah,
4920542.
And just say, Flowing with Famous.
And then there you go.
And then rant.
Your message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then rant.
You know, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
You don't even need to label it. I can figure out what your
the
podcast
you're
calling
about.
The day
that happens, I'll be the happiest man in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, we can play somebody's voicemail talking about flowing.
How?
Some present issue you want us to talk about, call it in, 492-0542.
We got some good...
Or flowing with pod on Twitter.
We got some good feedback about the last episode.
Yeah, on Twitter.
About the VRT. Yeah. So hopefully people will continue listening and liking what we do.
Yay.
And if not, we're still going to do it.
Yeah.
So
just tell your fellow Fresnan about Flowing with Famous.
And we'll keep you all up to date with what's happening in Fresno pop culture, music, politics, Fulton Mall, Chinatown.
Bike lanes, if they start getting
bike
fired
lanes,
up again,
we need to
talk
get some
about
bike
them.
Lanes. Yeah. So, all right, I guess that's it. And we'll say goodnight. Thank you so much for listening. And find us on Stitcher and the like and
iTunes.
Yep. 5, 4, 3, go.